We live in dangerous and stressful times. We often become frustrated, anxious, and even angry. We spend hours commuting in congested traffic, construction noise, big city noise, and even the noise of arguing coworkers, friends, and relatives produce tension and nervousness. Family life should be a resting place from the troubles around us, but family conflicts often contribute to life stresses. When reports of a massive earthquake and a resultant tsunami hit Japan on March the 11th, 2011, few outside that country could have imagined the degree to which this increased stress levels around the world. Spreading nuclear contamination showed up in dairy products many thousands of kilometers away. Authorities tell us not to worry. The amounts are very small. And they're probably correct. But sometimes we do worry, especially if we have a vulnerable child under our loving care. Many manufacturing plants were destroyed, causing a worldwide shortage of parts and supplies. People were laid off jobs and left wondering when they would be able to go back to work. Of course, we can only imagine the stress on those poor individuals who watched their loved ones, their homes, and their businesses crumbling before their eyes and washed out to sea. And then there is the cloud of nuclear war that has hung over the world for more than half a century. Sometimes it seems to be far off, but it never fully goes away, as we read occasional reports of terrorists seeking a bomb or materials for a dirty bomb. And let us not forget natural disasters such as droughts and floods. Not only do these affect the immediate area, but they often impact food supplies half a world away. It is estimated that over 1 billion people on Earth today do not have sufficient food. In the Bible, in Matthew, the 6th chapter, Jesus tells us, "Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature?" But how do we do this? How do we stop getting stressed out by worrying? Is there any solution to our stress-filled world? Is there anything that you can do to lessen the stress of life? Yes, there is. On today's program, Richard Ames goes to the one source that shows a sure way to lessen stress in your life. Yes, the Bible shows us the way to peace of mind through prayer. But we're not talking about just any kind of prayer. We're talking about the kind of prayer that is a lifeline to God, that makes a connection between you and your Creator. This kind of prayer is not mindless, memorized, repetitious words, but meaningful communication. You need to know the all-essential keys to praying more effectively so you can enjoy the benefits of a connection with God. So stay tuned as Richard Ames instructs us on prayer, our lifeline to God.
Warm greetings to all our friends around the world. The Bible gives us many principles and examples for effective prayer. One of the greatest solutions for facing our stress-filled world is praying to Almighty God. Do you pray regularly? Have you found peace of mind through prayer? In September 2006, a survey about religion in America was released by Baylor University and the Gallup Organization. The survey, quote, showed that 3/4 of Americans pray at least once a week. More than 1/4 prayed several times a day. Of those who prayed regularly, 77% prayed for relatives, end of quote. In one way, I find the fact that 1/4 of Americans are praying several times a day surprising, but encouraging. Why do we pray? And why should we pray? One major reason is because we need faith to face our dangerous and stress-filled world. In 2002, the Bulletin of Atomic Scientist Managers of the Doomsday Clock moved its hands forward by 2 minutes to 7 minutes to midnight. Midnight on the clock represents global disaster. On January 17, 2007, the scientists set the clock to 5 minutes before midnight. My friends, it's no wonder that we all should be praying, "Thy kingdom come." That urgent request is central to what is commonly called the Lord's Prayer in your Bible, Matthew, the 6th chapter. With all the threats of nuclear war and all the other dangers we face, we all need to pray that God's kingdom come to earth soon. We all need to seek God and draw close to Him. Prayer truly is our lifeline to God. We all need faith, courage, and confidence to cope with the dangers we face. If you have your Bible, turn to Romans 10 and verse 17. How can you have faith? Romans 10 and verse 17. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. In other words, my friends, as you read your Bible, the Word of God, you'll learn how God intervenes in the lives of His people. You'll learn that He's given us great promises that can change our lives and strengthen our faith. Listen to this encouraging statement in 2 Peter 1 and verse 2. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. As His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us, listen to this, exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. God has given us amazing promises that can strengthen our faith. When you face the dangers and stresses of modern life, can you have peace of mind? Commuter traffic can frustrate us on our way to work every day. The noise of big city life produces tension. Job conflicts and pressures increase our blood pressure, not to mention the problems we face with personal finances, failed relationships, and health crises. My friends, how do we overcome anxiety? How do we face our fears and frustrations in time of need? Simply by sharing our problems with God. He tells us how to make our requests known to Him. What kind of help do you need? Ask God for help. In fact, God promises to provide our every need. Philippians 4 and verse 19. And my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. God provides food and clothing for those who have faith. Read about that in Matthew, the 6th chapter. Go to God in prayer. Share your needs, anxieties, fears, problems, and your concerns with your Father in heaven. Talk to Him about your problems and worries. However, when you do, be sure to apply the key of thanksgiving. Remember Philippians 4 and verse 6. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. As you share your concerns and needs with God in prayer, be sure to thank Him for His promises, for His love, and for His willingness to help you. Now, what happens when you follow this instruction in Philippians 4, 6? Notice the next verse, verse 7. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Yes, through Christ Jesus. My friends, let me ask you, by whose authority do you pray? The simple answer is by the authority of your Savior and mine, Jesus Christ. This is an extremely important key to answered prayer. Pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Roderick Meredith writes, quote, through the name, the office and authority of Jesus Christ, we can directly approach God in prayer and worship. We do not need any human priest as a kind of intercessor, for we already have the greatest high priest, Jesus Christ. That's in Hebrews 4, verse 14. and he taught his true followers, "Most assuredly, I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. Until now, you have asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you will receive, that your joy may be full." John 16, verses 23 through 24. When we pray, we approach the throne of God in heaven. Our Father in heaven loves us. He wants us to pray directly to him. The scriptures tell us to come boldly to his throne of grace. How can we do that? Because as we've seen, Jesus Christ is our great high priest at the Father's right hand. Turn in your Bible to Hebrews 4 and verse 14. "Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin." Now listen to this. "Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." My friends, God has given us an awesome privilege. That privilege is to come before him in prayer. But prayer must be based on the Word of God, the Bible. Prayer is our lifeline to God. He promises to provide our every need, as we saw in Philippians 4 and verse 19. "And my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus." Perhaps you want to learn to pray. As a child, I learned a little prayer. "Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take." Then I would ask God to bless my father, mother, sister, and our cat we call Deet Deet. Later, as a teenager, I became a little more serious when my aunt became ill with cancer. I began to pray for her on a regular basis. But it wasn't until I was a young adult that I began to face the reality of God's existence and my relationship with him. I read an article giving principles of prayer. I remember trying to pray. I knelt down by my bed and I looked up and saw the ceiling. It was then I realized that I must face the reality of a Creator God. He was way beyond the ceiling in heaven. If you have your Bible, turn to Hebrews, the 11th chapter. Hebrews 11. Here we find the definition of faith. Hebrews 11 and verse 1. "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible." When we're first learning to pray, we need to look to the God of creation, the God of the Bible. How many people believe in God? An amazing 96% of Americans say they believe in God. In Canada, a poll by Carleton University found that 80% of Canadians believe in God, though fewer than 25% actually attend worship services. In Australia, a survey conducted by the National Church Life Survey and Edith Cowan University found that 74% of Australians believe in God, and in Britain, 69% believe in God. Those statistics may sound impressive, but how strong is their belief? And what do they really believe in? More and more scientists are beginning to understand the complexity, the grandeur, and the mystery of the universe and creation. Scientists like Nobel Prize winner Albert Einstein could see design and awesome intelligence in the creation. He wrote that the scientists, quote, "Religious feeling takes the form of a rapturous amazement at the harmony of natural law, which reveals an intelligence of such superiority that compared with it, all the systematic thinking and acting of human beings is an utterly insignificant reflection," end of quote. My friends, where did these laws come from? Did they come from nothing? Science has no proven explanation. These laws were in existence at the first moment of creation. Scientists admit that they had to be. As theoretical physicists Stephen Hawking and Roger Penrose stated, quote, "The only way to have scientific theory is if the laws of physics hold everywhere, including at the beginning of the universe," end of quote. The Bible and creation itself reveal that there is a great intelligence, a great creator, and a great lawgiver. My friends, you need to prove to yourself who that God is. The Apostle Paul wrote in Romans 1 and verse 20, "For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened." The Bible teaches us that we need to seek the God of creation. Again, let's read from the faith chapter of your Bible, Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11 and verse 6. "But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him." My friends, how do you diligently seek God? One way is to read the Bible, God's Word, every day. Yes, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, as we read in Romans 10, verse 17. God gives us hope for the future in his prophecies. He gives us exceedingly great and precious promises, as we saw in 2 Peter 1. And the Bible shows us the way to eternal life through the Savior of the world, Jesus Christ. My friends, do you read your Bible regularly? I hope you make it a practice to read it daily. You'll learn how God has intervened for his people in history. And as you read how he delivered them from gigantic stress and trials, you will begin to have more faith. Read the stories of Daniel in the lion's den, the deliverance of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego from the fiery furnace of Nebuchadnezzar in Babylon, the escape of the ancient Israelites through the Red Sea. Read about the miracles performed by the Son of God, Jesus of Nazareth. One of the keys to answered prayer is study the Bible. Yes, we must seek God by studying the Bible and by daily and regular prayer. Ancient King David made it a practice to pray to God three times a day. He wrote in Psalm 55 and verse 16, "As for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me. Evening and morning and at noon I will pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice." The prophet Daniel prayed three times a day, even when a king commanded him not to. Daniel 6 and verse 10. "Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went home, and in his upper room, with his windows open toward Jerusalem, he knelt down on his knees three times that day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as was his custom since early days." Daniel was thrown into the lion's den for his faith, but God rescued him and preserved his life. We all need to seek God through prayer. If you're just learning to pray, read the Bible daily. Read the book of Psalms. Many of the Psalms are the prayers of ancient King David. The prophet Isaiah gives us this exhortation in Isaiah 55, verses 6 and 7. "Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon." In Luke 11, 1, Jesus' disciples asked him, "Lord, teach us to pray," as John also taught his disciples. Jesus then gave them the model prayer, commonly called the Lord's Prayer. Let's look at the outline prayer in the parallel account, Matthew, the 6th chapter. Before outlining topics to pray about, Jesus gave us this warning in verse 7. "And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Saying the same words over and over and over again becomes vanity." Jesus wants us to pray from the heart. We need to put our hearts into our prayers and pray fervently. As it tells us in James 5, verse 16, "The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much." The prophet Hosea indicted the whole nation of Israel. Why? In Hosea 7, 14, he said, "They never put their heart into their prayers." That's from the Moffat translation. But my friends, we need to put our heart into our prayers consistently and regularly. Now, what should we normally pray about? What topic should we address? In teaching his disciples to pray, here is what Jesus said, Matthew 6 and verse 9. "In this manner, therefore, pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. The very first topic honors the name of our Father in heaven. Who and what is God? In your prayer, first acknowledge that God is your Father. You can also acknowledge that He is the Creator of heaven and earth. Just read Genesis 1:1, Exodus 20, verses 8 through 11, and Isaiah 40, verses 25 through 28. God is also the lawgiver and the life giver. He fulfills Bible prophecy, as we've seen in previous programs. He answers our prayers. Pray about the meaning of God's name, His authority and character. Notice that Jesus did not say, repeat these words over and over again. He said, in this manner, therefore, pray. The model prayer or outline prayer focuses on God as our Father. Other major topics to pray about include the need for God's kingdom to come to earth, our submission to do God's will, our request for our needs, physically and spiritually, our need for forgiveness as we forgive others, our protection from severe trials and temptations, and our deliverance from Satan, the devil, and all evil. The model prayer concludes with a focus on God's power and majesty. Matthew 6 and verse 13. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. God is the creator of the universe. He has all power. He is omnipotent. And our Father in heaven wants you to inherit the earth, the kingdom, and the glorious universe. God is love. He wants to share everything good with you. The scriptures tell us to seek God with all our heart. Notice this encouraging promise in Jeremiah 29 and verse 10. For thus says the Eternal, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. I will be found by you, says the Lord. My friends, we have a great Savior and High Priest at the right hand of God. Come boldly to that throne of grace, as He tells us in Hebrews 4, verse 16. God will then give us His grace and mercy as we seek Him and submit to His will. Prayer is our lifeline to God. Pray fervently. Pray every day, and God will give you peace of mind in these dangerous times.
Yes, we do live in a stress-filled world. But as Richard Ames explained, there is a way to de-stress, a way to put events and troubles in perspective, and a source to which we can turn to lessen that stress. There truly is a God of creation, a Heavenly Father who put us on this earth for a grand purpose. Isn't it time that you got to know Him? If you've been reciting memorized, repetitious prayers, why not get down on your knees and simply talk to Him as you would talk with a friend? Be open and honest. Let Him know your concerns. But there is more to prayer than simply asking Him to take away all the stresses in your life and fulfill all your desires. There are 12 keys to answered prayer. Richard Ames gave us some of them. But here is another key found in verse 22 of the third chapter of 1 John. And whatever we ask, we receive from Him. Why? Because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. My friends, do you know His commandments? Do you keep them? Do you know what kind of life to live in order to please God? And are you living that way? Keeping His commandments and doing those things that are pleasing in His sight is an important key to receiving what we ask of Him. This is why we must add the study of the Bible to the practice of prayer. Prayer is when you talk to God. The study of His Word is when He talks to you. If you leave either one out, what you have is a monologue. Prayer lets God know what is on your mind. But to know the mind of God, you need to study His Word. And then you must live by those words if you want your prayers answered. Yes, there are keys to making a connecting lifeline to God. Here at Tomorrow's World, we offer you hope in a challenging world. We believe that there is a real Creator God who made all things, who gave us life, and who holds out to you and to me the opportunity for eternal life in His kingdom. And we believe the source of information as to how to attain eternal life is found only in the pages of this book that we know of as the Holy Bible. So come back next week, same time, same place, when Richard Ames and I will bring you more wonderful news of the coming kingdom of God and how you can have a part in it. So please, join us again next week.
If you would like to discover more about how today's topic impacts your life, then take the time to examine the free literature offered on this program at tomorrowsworldhk.com. Find real answers to life's most puzzling and challenging questions at tomorrowsworldhk.com. At our website, you'll find valuable articles revealing God's principles for living an abundant and happy life, while providing rare insight into current and future events. So don't delay. Visit us now at tomorrowsworldhk.com.
The preceding program is produced by the Living Church of God.